and pour and this and that what is necessarily needed in order to have us fed as well, God. We ask that the deliverance of the reader today, Lord, is spread it out within us, Lord, that we may receive the word however we need to and intend to for us to move forward throughout this week, throughout this year, throughout this time, Lord, every ounce of our day. We are seeking truth. Thank we are seeking Jesus. Comfort and peace, Lord. May it be well established. Keep us deeply rooted and grounded within the word, and may the Holy Spirit dwell within us, Lord, on many Father levels, God. Lord, so we shall continue to grow tremendously, Lord. Everything that we are seeking, may it be ordered by thy footsteps, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I plead the bleed over us on this phone, and I plead the blood over us, Lord, for those who are not even able to connect on this call today, Lord.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Pray this prayer out to reach near and far for all of our people. May you continue to keep a hedge around us, especially our mental, the way we think, the way we see things, and most of all, the way we speak through you, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, I can go on and on, but you know what is necessarily needed within each of us as an individual. So, again, I must say, God, give us almighty power in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Miss May.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, I wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit. Good morning, who just joined us?
Lisa.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Lisa. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
So I wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit, but I found that I think we need to review, and for some of us, it's a review because I think I did this study about a year and a half ago. But I want to review what we are made of, that we are tripartite beings, which just a big word that just means that we're three-part beings. We are mind, or you could say mind, body, and soul, but we're gonna call it what the Bible calls it, which is we're spirit, soul, and body. And I want to make sure that we understand that, because when we're talking about before we can get to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we need to understand how does all that work? And I'll do my best by the power of the Holy Spirit to explain it. When we talk about that we're three-part beings, we're two parts of it is basically spiritual, and one part is physical. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Can you repeat that, please?
Two parts, soul and spirit, is the untangible. We can't see it. We can't. Somebody needs to mute because it sounds like your TV's on or something. But we can't see the soul, and we can't see the spirit. We can only see the physical part of our being. In the soul, that includes the mind, the will, and emotions. So our intellectual and our emotions are embedded in the soul of a person. The body cannot function without the soul. If you have no consciousness, you're considered in a coma, and in that state, you can't function. If the soul is not able to have impact with its thoughts and its emotions on the body. The physical is where we act out what the mind has decided. Does that make sense? Or what we're feeling. And sometimes in the physical, we don't necessarily even act it out. Sometimes we act out things in the physical that's coming from an emotional place. For example, some of us struggle with emotional eating. So you'll see, well, they're eating, that must indicate they're hungry. Not necessarily. Not everything that you see in this realm that is acted out through the physical is as simple as it appears. Let's take, for example, a person who is self-destructive. It looks like, well, they've got some issue with, you know, maybe some kind of, you know, they like cutting themselves. They like the sensation of being cut. Let's say that's it. Or that's what it looks like. But really, we both know, everybody on this call would know, that if you're cutting yourself, there's something deeper wrong, correct?
Right.
Correct. What's wrong isn't what can be seen. All you can see is the act out of it in this physical realm. Does that make sense?
Stacey. Yes.
Hi, Stacey. Yes. Good morning.
Sorry, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, Stacey.
We are talking about being three-part beings, which is spiritual, the spirit, the soul, and the physical. So in the physical, in the outward, we get the manifestation of often what's going on inwardly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about, well, what happened then in the garden? What part of man died in the garden? Did the physical body die that day?
No.
Well, okay, what am I talking about in the garden? I'm talking about in the garden when they ate the fruit, and they were, and the Lord said that this day, the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. What happened in the garden? Did they
Their
drop
soul
dead
die.
Like that in there?
No.
What happened?
No. Their soul died. They were separated from God. Because the soul, if I'm not mistaken, is our will and our emotions. Yes?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's
the
what
the soul is, the will, emotions, and intellect.
Intellect, right. So that's what was defeated in the garden when they were tempted. So that's what died, maybe.
Well, then, if that be the case, what is the spirit?
Well, we are the spirit. We're the spirit living in a body with a soul. So if that is true, if we are a spirit living in a body with a soul, I think the spirit may be, I don't know what the spirit be doing.
Isn't that what correction. The spirit could be, what God blew into Adam? He breathed in his spirit of God? I'm not sure either.
That's the breath of
God. Well, we're all spirits, but she was saying what happened to the spirit in the garden.
Oh, what happened to, okay.
Yeah, the soul we know died. The body still existed, but she's asking what happened to the spirit.
What happened to, okay.
It became, I don't want to say toxic, but the spirit became more aware of our feelings, our emotions, pain, what it is to reflect pain or to have depression. I don't know.
The separation, maybe?
But, yeah, the power we have to consciously stay healed and awoke, it was, it became an illusion.
We're grabbing for straws. Help us. Help us, Lord Jesus.
Okay, Richard, got something to say.
Yes, Richard, help us.
I'm with you guys. But I believe that the spirit died. A spirit in F died. The soul's still alive because we didn't die physically.
You
we
think
walked
so?
Out of the, Adam walked out of the garden with Eve. They were still physically alive, but their spirit was dead.
They also had more intellect.
Yeah, they had exactly. They had intellect, they had emotion, because they knew they need to cover themselves from being naked. They needed food. So they knew they needed shelter. So all these things were still with them when they left the garden. So I believe it was their spirit that died.
You think the spirit and not the soul?
Yes. Because they still have thoughts in their body.
Okay, but Ms. Jeanette
we still
asked,
had will.
Right.
We still had will.
Mm-hmm.
We still had the ability to choose good and evil.
Right.
We obviously had that same will before we made the choice to eat the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the same will after we made the choice to eat the fruit. But the spirit of a person, the spirit of the person is what began or became, I'm going to say died, but I mean died in that it was separated from God.
So it was the spirit that was separated, huh? That's
our soul is what becomes polluted through our thoughts and our deeds.
Right.
That's what becomes, so when we say a soul needs to be saved, that's your mind, your thoughts, your emotions.
Right.
Needs to be renewed. And the mind, the thought, and the emotions is renewed by what?
The reading of the word, God's word.
The word.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
So a lot of times people will say that the soul and the spirit is one, but I want you to read 1 Thessalonians 5:23.
Sure.
Before she reads, can you repeat what she started off with, talking about the body, three parts, and what they are?
The three parts is the soul, the spirit, and the body, the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Body, soul, and spirit. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:23.
May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who calls you.
Stop right there.
Sure.
1 Thessalonians 5:23.
And
this
I'm in
is
the NIV.
Where I am scripturally basing that we are three parts. And it is named, read it one more time, just verse 23.
Sure. Spirit, soul, and body. Oh, you want me to read it from the beginning?
Yes.
May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it.
Yes. Yeah. So here we see through his word, there are three parts. This isn't the soul, and so you may hear it preached that the soul and the spirit are one. They are not one. I want you to turn to Hebrews 4, verse 12.
Okay.
That's Hebrews 4, verse 12.
Would you like me to read now?
Give us a second
sure.
to find it.
Sure.
Everybody got it that's looking?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Ooh.
Okay. So the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit. I'm going to give you a visual here. Let's say that the spirit is water, and let's say that the soul is dirt, just for an example. And if you mix dirt and water together, it would be very difficult to separate it, correct?
Correct.
But they're two complete different entities. Soul is not spirit, and spirit is not soul. But they are so intertwined together that only God can separate them. And I was, you know, meditating on that. I say, well, what do you mean they're so intertwined together? Often, and I think with anybody, it's almost as if, remember we said that the spirit, the soul is the mind, will, and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But the soul, even though it contains the emotions, it's the spirit is also very reactive to emotions.
Yeah.
It's almost like they kind of overlap and they intertwine in a way that only God can determine, is this coming from your spirit or is this a state of your soul?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this important? Because I want you to get the picture of the circle. And the outer part of the circle is the physical. The next, right next to the physical, would be the soul. And then in the heart of the man is the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
When the spirit became separated from God, there's nothing good that it generates.
No.
When I say that the spirit is dead, and we hear Paul talking about it in various scriptures where he talked about we are dead until we are made alive through Christ. He's talking about that spirit. Now, I've said this before, but I'm gonna help you understand. When we talk about, remember, you might hear it said, and I certainly have made the statement, well, when you are saved, the person, is the person immediately made perfect?
No.
No.
And yet he says that we are made perfect, that we are now cleaned, we are now restored. So what is he saying? He's saying that our finished product is what we will be. But when you are first saved, is every bad habit immediately taken from you?
No.
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 You've just heard the word, you've just received, you've just confessed, you've just repented, you now believe. What just happened?
Our spirit was renewed.
Ah, spirit came. Our spirit is brought alive.
Praise
alive
Jesus. That's excellent.
Amen.
Is our spirit
from
brought
death.
Alive from, you know,
death.
Lounging
separation.
In bed?
No, from separation. We're back with Christ. You're so
there
funny.
We go.
No.
So it's brought alive now, and now this spirit within you can begin. And what spirit is that?
That's who we are. What spirit is that? We're only one spirit, right?
The
yes.
Holy Spirit.
Wait a minute.
We are given the Holy Spirit,
okay.
Which takes the place of the dead spirit or the spirit separated from God in you.
Oh, wow. Let's hold on. Let's resonate there. Wow. That's quite interesting.
We now have the Spirit of God. I don't have the Spirit of Jeanette and the Spirit of God and the soul and the flesh.
Right.
We're three-part beings.
I didn't know.
So once the Spirit of God, the Bible says he seals us with his Spirit.
Mm.
His spirit comes in and revives the spirit within us. It's not replaced, it's renewed, it's restored, it's changed.
Mm.
You were given a spirit at birth.
Right.
But this spirit is now separated from God. Now we get saved, we accept Christ, we ask him to come in and live in us, and our spirit is now reborn. Here comes the word.
Birth.
That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit, you must be born again.
Right.
So you are given a new rebirth, a new spirit that is reborn in you.
Hmm.
Now, here, remember, we've got the spirit at the core, right?
Right.
And then there's the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the flesh.
Right.
Yes, Richard reminds me, or the body, because they're interchangeable. You'll find Paul uses it that way and Jesus uses it that way. That flesh and the body is interchangeable. So whenever
mm-hmm.
I say flesh, I'm talking about the physical
okay.
body.
Right.
Not talking about the composition of skin, but the physical body. Now we've got this, you're seeing the circle. If you're taking notes and you have in the circle, you've got the newborn spirit of God within you, sealed by this Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit now has revived the spirit within you that has been dead, that has been separated from Christ, that has no more influence positive on the body at all. But now we have this new being that has been sent from above to live in you. But what are the challenges? It's in the same body and it's in the same soul.
Right.
The soul is not changed necessarily immediately and in all ways or at all. You still have the soul that you've been cultivating your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that soul do? An unsaved soul or a soul without the Spirit of God's influence does whatever it wants to do.
Yeah. Big things of
The flesh. The flesh and of itself. See, the flesh, we often take the soul and we just blend it with the flesh. It's not synonymous. These are two different entities also.
Right.
The soul has its agenda, which is born out of what it thinks, what it wants.
And how it
and
feels.
And the flesh has its agenda, which is cravings and, you know, other issues that the flesh wars against God. Both the soul and the spirit war against God. So if the flesh and the soul war against God, who are they warring against but the spirit within you if you've received the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Now we have the fight.
Right.
What are they after? The soul of a man. He can't do anything with your spirit, but he can come after your soul.
Yeah.
Remember Jesus said, don't worry about him who is able to destroy the body, but worry about him which is able to both destroy the body and the soul in hellfire. It's the soul that will be going straight to hell. The body will be going to the grave.
Right.
Make sense?
So
yep.
Since the spirit is already dead, so then there's no life to it anyway. So therefore, it will be the soul goes to hell, the body goes to the grave. But if the spirit is alive, the spirit of God is alive in you, so the body still goes to the grave, but the soul and spirit goes to...
The spirit is the one that is talking right now. Hallelujah.
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 Mm.
Mm. The Spirit is going to return to the Father.
Yes, praise Jesus.
He just gave me complete understanding.
Mm.
Praise your holy name. The Spirit will return to the Father.
Yes.
The soul of the man lives forever wherever you have found yourself from your deeds here on earth, but from the sealing of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
You've been sealed.
Mm.
You've been saved.
Mm.
And you will live forever. But now he says, work out your salvation.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Why is he saying work out your salvation? Because now we have to get, hallelujah, we have to get continuity between the spirit and the soul.
So, yes, yes.
We have to get our mind to conform to his spirit.
Yes.
It's the only way that our mind, which is our soul, which is our being, which is our consciousness, which is going to affect our deeds, the only way that we are going to get that to happen is by the renewing of our mind through his word.
Yes.
Amen.
So now we've got the renewing of his mind. This is a decision you have to make. Here's the decision. I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to get my thoughts in check. If I can get my thoughts in check, I don't have to worry about what's coming out of my physical mouth, do I?
Amen. Amen. No.
Because what's coming out of your mouth is proceeding from the heart or the emotions, which is back to the soul. If your soul is full of darkness, well, that's what's coming out of you. Your flesh is going to be full of darkness. So we renew our mind and we begin to line them up with the spirit.
Yeah.
Now we can see clearly why through the Old Testament did we see the Lord in the Old Testament over and over and over. The Spirit of God came upon David. The Spirit of God came upon Samuel. The Spirit of God came upon Saul. The Spirit of God visited me and spoke with me. The Spirit of God had me write this. So we see the Holy Spirit all through the Old Testament. Sure, he was there, but he was there for limited periods of time. He could come and visit or come upon a person, but he didn't particularly stay. That doesn't happen, and therefore, you see, every single person in the Old Testament is just struggling.
Right.
Because the power to do what we're talking about comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is in the core, and it's got a battle with the soul. But we can help the Holy Spirit by feeding the word to the soul. By the renewing of our mind helps it line up with the spirit. Now, we have Paul saying, I need you to walk in the spirit. How is that done? Was that even possible in the Old Testament?
No.
No. You could be a righteous man like Job. You could, there's people that can pull off doing the right thing, but all of our righteousness is as filthy rags because there's still flaws in our righteousness. Even our righteousness, you may not know, but when God examined your heart, he may say, well, maybe your righteousness was trying to, have people speak well of you. Maybe your righteousness was because you understood principles and it was to see what you could get for it. Maybe your righteousness or your righteous deeds was, prompted by hidden other desires that you're not even aware of.
Yeah.
So all of our righteousness is as filthy rags to the Lord. Hence, Job had to get a little bit of a wake-up call. Like, yeah, I know you say you're blameless, but we got to tell you something. Even you. Because all it takes is one sin to separate us from God.
Yeah.
One sin, one hidden thing that we didn't even know was in there is enough to make us worthy of damnation. So here comes all the offerings, the turtle doves, the lamb without blemish, whatever else you got. Year after year, bringing this stuff in, burning them up. Trying to bring something without spot or wrinkle so that you can be declared clean.
All right. Yeah.
But it can't be pulled off. So here comes the New Testament, the new covenant that God has with his people. As he spoke about in Ezekiel, that he was going to give us a new spirit, his people a spirit, and that spirit was going to enable us to live a life of victory. But it doesn't start out victory. We start out just what we were. We have a soul that is completely polluted by the world. It's full of everything you've done. It's full of the twisted way you think, the godless way you think. Just because a person is newly saved or saved or been saved 20 years doesn't mean that their thoughts are not still godless.
Right. Is
because you have to subject yourself and submit to that spirit within you. If you don't, you don't grow. You ever meet a Christian that's been a Christian longer than you've been alive?
Yes.
And yet they are still in a stagnant place? Mm-hmm. They still curse every fourth or fifth word? They still have vices in their life they haven't put down? But, oh, girl, no, I got up and gave my life to Christ when I was 12, and I'm 96.
Yeah.
And just as evil. Mm-hmm. It's not because the power of God's word isn't changing. It is a changing factor, right?
Yes.
It's a supernatural tool. But mm-hmm. you still have to submit to what you hear. In the garden, we had a choice, and we still have a choice. And the choice is to submit. If you don't submit to the power of his word to change and conform you, well, then the spirit in you is just sitting here like, wow. Paul is urging you not to walk by the flesh, but by the spirit, because the soul is going to lean one way or the other. Remember, the soul is caught in between. It's the middle layer. It can go boom into the flesh and give into every kind of lust and desire and, you know, every crazy crap that comes into your head, out it comes from your mouth. Mm-hmm. Or it can be led by the spirit, which begins to control the whole shebang. We are asking that the Holy Spirit would control us in our mind, in our heart, and in our body.
Yeah.
That is what our desire ought to be, that the Holy Spirit take complete control.
Amen. Amen.
Question.
Amen. Yeah.
When Father God talks about guarding your heart, the heart is a part of the soul, yes?
Yes.
Thank you. I just needed a confirmation. So that's what he's saying, protect your soul as well. Okay, thank you.
Protect your soul through your mind.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And your emotions. Mm-hmm. Now I want to, and this is something that, I want to bring something up. And this is why it takes God to separate the spirit from the soul, as only he could do. He even equates it to bone and marrow.
Yeah.
Very difficult to separate. Only but by the two-edged sword, but by God, can it be separated. Here's what I want to challenge you with. Sometimes, I have to say, I have been worshiping the Lord, for example. And it feels like it's emotions taking over. I have an emotional response to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Everybody on this call has sometime in their life had an emotional response to the Lord, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Or is it that we cannot tell the difference?
No, I can tell the difference.
What if it is? What I'm calling an emotional response in praise and worship, because the reaction in my body is emotional. The tears are rolling down my face. I can't control them. My heart seems full. So I'm thinking this is an emotional response in praise and worship. But maybe this is where you can't separate the bone from the marrow, the soul from the spirit. Perhaps this is the spirit praising God from within me.
Oh, right. Hallelujah.
It's the manifestation of the spirit.
Yeah. That's the spirit. That's the one buried at the bottom, in the core of you.
Yeah.
It's the core of you that is praising God.
Hallelujah.
The core has taken over, so it's affecting the soul. And the soul is now affecting the body, and up go your arms.
Hallelujah.
Now I'm going to go the other way. Have you ever been in a praise and worship service and you're just not feeling it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But then your mind says, well, if I'm not feeling it and I look around and other people are praising and worship, what's wrong? What's going on? And then the spirit within you says, raise your hands. close your eyes, open your mouth. And from the outside in, it, the spirit is released.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
By subjecting the flesh, by raising your hands to God, mm-hmm. by opening your mouth, subjecting the flesh to sing anyway,
mm-hmm.
or begin to praise, move your mouth, speak, mm-hmm. praise my name, and the Holy Spirit breaks through. Mm-hmm. Before you know it, you're in a full-blown experience again. What was warring against the spirit who longs to praise God but the soul and the flesh?
Mm-hmm. Fighting.
Fighting. I'm not feeling this. I don't like that song. Why did they sing that song again? I don't get nothing out of that song.
That is so true. Yeah.
Right?
Sometimes we all yeah. been there.
But what now, the next time that happens, get the visual that the spirit within you is trying to break through the soul and break through the flesh, because the soul, the body can't do anything without the agreement with the soul.
Mm-hmm.
It just can't. It has to be in agreement. Now, the spirit of God can take you over. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The Spirit of God can take you over, but, and that means that for that supernatural time, it's overrid the soul.
Question.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm disrupted by others. I'm going to use the word energy, but it's the wrong word, and I apologize. But I've been in church prior, during, or after a praise and worship, and have been interrupted by, I call it an energy, but I am asking, is it their soul or is it their dead spirit that makes me look or grabs my attention towards them?
It can be that they're occupied by another spirit.
Okay, I'm sensitive to that, very much so.
They could be occupied by the spirit of this world.
Okay.
They could be occupied by a unclean spirit. And we see, well, people say, well, you can't say that because that's not, yeah, it is. You can have an unclean spirit.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, everybody pretty much has an unclean spirit if they're not in Christ.
Right.
Now, how many other attachments do they have to their unclean spirit?
No.
Who knows? Legion had 2,000.
Right.
You can bind that. You can set up a standard against it.
Hmm.
When I was at Calvary, there was a woman that I was sitting next to, and it was this particular, I don't know if you remember this, Alexandra, but this particular woman kept tapping you.
I did.
You were in praise
yes.
and worship, and she was tapping you. And I looked at her, and then I closed my eyes, and I said,
yep.
stop it in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Just stop it.
And I never felt it. I never felt
you
it.
You didn't even feel her tapping you.
I didn't even feel it because I was so into Jesus. And Miss Jeanette just said, block, block. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus.
And then later it came out that this woman knew she had an unclean spirit and wanted deliverance. Same woman.
Mm. Okay.
Same woman.
Mm.
That brings us to the topic that really kind of I did not want to deal with, but I have to. And that is, can a believer have an unclean spirit?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. We all agree
Are
on that.
Are you saying that the Holy
yes,
Spirit
I do.
And unclean spirit can reside in the same temple?
Yes.
No.
No? Why not?
No. Because Daddy can't reside with dirt? No.
Somewhere along the way, that spirit died, and then something attached itself to it. But Daddy don't live in filth.
Right. So it just there's just an attachment.
There it is. Let's see what Mama say. Though.
Could be an attachment. Could be that the person was never spirit filled.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He said that even the demons in hell, and I thank you for that, Holy Spirit, even demons in hell can believe. So just because, and once you are saved, you are sealed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Right.
So it sounds inconsistent then.
Yep.
No, believing is not necessarily sealed. I can mm-hmm. believe that it's a great idea to exercise. It doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
That don't mean.
Stop talking.
Oh, God.
Right?
So is missing the mark an unclean spirit, or we just miss the mark? Because then we're not perfect. We always need to, you know, we always, when we miss the mark, we
that's
set those things behind
unclean.
Us. That's different.
Necessarily an unclean spirit. You can be filled with the Spirit of God. We're back to the soul. But the soul is renewed through God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The renewing of your mind begins to change your soul, and you begin to become in one with the Spirit.
Okay.
That's a process, Stacy.
Right.
That's a process. A process and having an unclean spirit is two different things. An unclean spirit you need to be delivered from.
Okay.
An unclean spirit may be manifesting as a ridiculous stronghold in your life. You need deliverance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You need a stronghold broken.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same as, wow, today I got mad and whoop, what came out of my mouth, I didn't even know was still there. Lord, help me with my foul mouth. That's not the same. That's the flesh and the soul, which is in the process. It's in the process of becoming one with the Spirit. Just because the Spirit is planted in you, you don't suddenly become the Holy Spirit yourself.
Right.
You're not suddenly walking with the Spirit and talking with the Spirit and governed by the Spirit. You're still fighting the flesh. And we will be fighting the flesh till the flesh goes to the grave.
Yeah.
And our soul is becoming renewed and made Christ-like through His Spirit. That's why when somebody meets you, they still might meet Stacy instead of meeting the Spirit of God all the time. Stacy is the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And Stacy will always be Stacy. When Stacy is resurrected from the dead, she'll be made perfect, but she will still be recognized as Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm counting on a new body, so some of you may not recognize me. You know,
we won't.
Yeah.
We'll know that spirit, though. We'll know that spirit. Come on now. Curfew 6-2 with long.
I'm
like
hoping
here.
That I'll, you know, be so renewed in my new resurrected body that I'll look more like I did at 30 than I do at 60.
Oh,
that's just a hope I got going there, but we'll see.
Yes.
God gets to decide.
Yes.
But if we have an unclean spirit, I wonder, was that person ever sealed with the Holy Spirit?
No, he couldn't be, because as John said, the Father and
Satan are not going to reside in the same temple.
Exactly.
So they
were
not
sealed. By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There are scriptures that say, upon believing, you're sealed. But then he comes back and says, the demons in hell believe. So we know they're not sealed.
Right.
So it's more than just, it's more than believing with your mind.
Right.
There's more to it than that. And I believe it has to do with surrender.
Yeah.
I agree.
Now, when I say it has to do with surrender, does that mean that you have suddenly stopped every bad thing you've done? No.
No.
But it does mean that in your heart,
your heart and
your
desire.
Soul, where's the heart and soul? In your soul, you are willing.
Yes.
Amen.
And then the Holy Spirit, you're asking for the Holy Spirit.
Take over, Holy Spirit.
But prior to that, you could be like somebody I was talking about, we're going to take her off the plate, who has sat through a seminar in how important exercise is. And the speaker could say, do you all believe that exercise is important? I'd be the first to raise my hand. Oh, absolutely.
Yep. Right.
You know that even God's word says it's important to exercise. Oh, I believe that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to walk out of there, and I may or probably not exercise.
Take a walk. I'm fighting that right now.
Richard said I was going to stop off and get an apple fritter.
There it is. That's...
That sounds good to me, too, though.
Amen.
No, they're good.
Amen.
See, that's cold.
So do we really believe? Do I really believe exercise is good? Yes. But am I willing to make a commitment? No.
Nope.
Did I come up in a church and say, I want to be saved? Yes. Was I willing to make a commitment? No.
Surrender.
And now I'm crying, I'm bawling, I'm falling out, I'm even rolling on the floor. Does that mean that I made a commitment?
No.
Nope.
No.
No. No. It just means that I really felt deeply about it and really did want fire insurance. But it doesn't necessarily mean I've received Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who knows if the person's received Christ?
Spirit of God, Jesus,
him and him alone.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is why he says that the tares grow right next to the wheat.
Right.
And you can't tell them apart. Because I could even have gotten up, made this confession of faith, and decided, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore, and I'm not going to do that. You remember how religion is do's and don't based?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I like this whole idea of being a better person. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to join this church. So I joined the church, but have I made a commitment to follow Christ? Have I? I look like I have.
Mm-hmm.
I come every Sunday. And I'm going to be, volunteering to be an elder. And I'm helpful wherever I can be helpful. Am I a tare or a wheat? Mm. Only God can tell.
Amen.
I might have decided that, wow, these people are the kind of people I'd like to be around. They seem better than the people I meet in the club. You know what, I'm going to change from the club to the church, and I like it better. And there's some cute guys in here, too. And they probably aren't as wretched as the ones in the club. So I kind of like this group better, and I want to be a part of this. Yes, I'm going to come up. What do I have to say? I'll repeat after you every word you say. And I really
That's
am excited
true.
About, joining the new club. I'm excited about it. I may not even understand Christ or care to. You can't tell. But then you have the tares and the wheat growing up right there, right under your nose in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And since I happen to be, in this case, a tare, I'm sitting there eyeballing this guy who's actually a wheat. And he's coming from a place of living like a whore and trying to do better. But he's got this tear sitting up there in church eyeballing him.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, I'm new at this. I'm new. Can you show me the ropes? And it's not ropes she's asking for at all. Next thing you know, she's dragging down somebody else because she's not even saved. She's just growing up and looking the same. but not the same. We can alter our behavior. I'm going to take this one step further. We can even have a demon cast out of us and still not be saved.
Mm.
Ouch.
Yeah, really.
Now, what is that based on? That's based on the scripture where he says that if it's cast out of a man and the man doesn't change and gets a new sheriff in town, in other words, a new spirit, a born again, then that demon's going to go about and he's going to run around and he's going to go to dry places. And if he can't find some other temple to get in, he's going to come back and see about yours.
Mm-hmm.
And if he comes back and he finds it's been all cleaned up, that's fine. I'm going to move in with seven worse than myself.
Yes.
How can he move back in if God's spirit is there?
Right.
So that means a person can have an unclean spirit cast out of them, which would make them also, again, think that they're saved. Mm-hmm. But they've never invited the Spirit of God in.
Wow. Wow.
It's kind of like
wow.
You go to the gym a couple of times, and you actually... It was physical therapy, and you got your leg working again. So now your leg is fine, but that's the last you needed of the gym. So the rest of your body is still atrophying. You're still full of sin. You're still living a sinful lifestyle. You're still doing the same thing. You're just doing it in a new environment.
Wow.
Ouch.
Yeah.
But when the adversary comes back sniffing around as a lion seeking whom he may devour, he knows when this vessel's open and there's no spirit of God residing in the secret place.
Mm-hmm.
He knows. So he comes back and invites a bunch more with him.
Yep.
Hey, I went to the Lord to be delivered of crack. The Lord delivered me from crack. And I was delivered from crack forever. But now I still have an alcohol problem. I have a cursing problem. I have a promiscuous problem. I have a problem with, you know, loving people. I have a problem with unkindness. I have a problem with this, that, the other. The list is endless. But he delivered me from crack. Yes, but did he come and live inside? You can come to the Lord for deliverance. I can come to the Lord for a job. He gives me a job. That doesn't mean I'm saved.
Right.
He lets the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. The unjust, their prayers are answered too. When you see people in the miracles of Jesus that are delivered, some of them, like demoniac, wanted to immediately follow Jesus. And Jesus said, no, go back and be a testimony to the people in this region. But other people he may have delivered from another sin sickness like leprosy, and they didn't even come back and say thank you. Were they saved? Probably not. They just came to the Lord to get what they wanted, got what they wanted in a time of trouble. And God is like that. He'll even answer the prayers of the unrighteous in time of trouble because they call on him. He's merciful and gracious like that. So you can say, gee, I have a drinking problem. Lord, deliver me. I don't want to drink anymore. And the Lord says, okay, I'll deliver you. Mm-hmm. But does that mean you started following him?
Ouch.
Not necessarily.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody may be so grateful and say, and I will follow you all the days of my life and come and live within me so I can do that. Others just, thanks. It's cool not being an alcoholic anymore.
Yeah,
thanks.
That is true.
Wow.
Yes. Because there's
so
people I know that have stopped drinking, and I...
Person.
Yes, that's right.
So you see the change in a person, and you're thinking, oh, wow, they're saved. No, not necessarily. Just the drinking, the spirit of drinking has been...
Right.
They've been delivered from, but that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is living there now. He didn't say that. He didn't say, every time I cast out a devil, I reside. He doesn't say that. You think about the little boy who was throwing himself into the fire and throwing himself into the water. And the parents brought the little boy and said, my boy needs deliverance. This is what he's doing. The Lord said, come out of him, you unclean spirit. Does that mean the boy was instantly filled with the Holy Spirit? No, it does not.
That's so deep. That's so like.
I know.
That is, yeah.
Because we think about all the people we know, right, that we sit in church with or, you know, our Christians
and
brothers
and sisters.
And you
wonder why I see that they were delivered from this, and yet they're still full of the devil.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit has to come in. With some people, it is at the time of salvation. But when is the time of salvation? How do you know when a person's been saved?
I don't. We don't.
Churches try to filter through it and maybe do an interview. Well, do you know when you were saved? Well, I know that blah, blah, blah. And then after that, my life changed. And these are all the right answers.
Right.
You could have been saved then. But you can have a change of behavior and not be saved, not have the Spirit of God in you. It's now 11:01, so I have to stop. Stacy, did you have a question? Or somebody had
no,
a question?
No, you said it. I didn't have one.
Anybody that have any questions?
No, you just answered it. Now we're all puzzled. Now we're going to look at everybody all googly-eyed.
And I can see you now. Are you a terror or a week?
What? That's right. That's my new line. Wow.
And the sad thing is we so cannot tell because there's a bunch of Christians who are saved, who do have the Spirit of God in them, with terrible behavior.
Exactly. Ooh. Come on now. That's why my mama on business.
Thank you. That's why he says, don't even bother to judge till all things are revealed.
Amen.
We don't know enough about it.
Thank you.
Nope.
But we should know enough to ask the Spirit of God to reside in our hearts.
Yes. Amen.
Ask him that he give us a hunger and a passion and a desire for his word so that it could renew our mind, so that our soul can line up with the Spirit he has given us.
Amen.
And if our soul will line up with the Spirit he has given us, then our behavior will be a reflection of that.
Yes, amen. Amen.
That's what we're after, and it's so much to do that you have to do. There's not a lot of room to be worried about who's saved and who's not.
Amen.
That make sense?
Amen. Yes. Amen. Clear.
Okay.
Lord,
I get it. Read this word. We're going to probably visit this more than once and here, there, and everywhere because you have to keep kind of getting repositioned on it because we lose sight of this easily because two of the parts are unseen.
Right.
And we walk in this carnal and very tangible world. What's real to us is what we can see. We lose sight of the parts we can't see.
Amen.
But he gave me a visual today I'll never lose. And that is, it's always the Holy Spirit warring through Jeanette to control the body.
Mm-hmm.
The soul. The soul. Jeanette is the soul. Jeanette is that consciousness, that one that's making the decision, the one that has to yield to the Spirit. Mm-hmm. No wonder I get so mad when the Spirit tells me stuff.
Yes, you
do. When the Spirit corrects me, I just fold my arms and there goes my flesh, there goes my soul. But I've got to line it up with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will give you the power to yield to him. You have to make the choice, but he'll give you the power.
Oh, man.
And therefore, you've got to make the choice over and over and over and over. Moment by moment, day by day.
Yes.
It's a constant yielding. And then finally, the longer we yield, the sooner we'll be eventually walking in the Spirit more often. Because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, won't have as much of a fight with you to control the body.
Yeah.
And it comes from yield, 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 hold your tongue, hold your peace, Be still and know that I am God. The Holy Spirit begins, and next week we'll talk about, well, how does the Holy Spirit do his work through us? And it's not just, it's, of course it's through, you know, the outward of renewing your mind and this, that, and the other, but we're going to talk more about that next week because I'll keep going now. It's 11:05.
I know,
and next Monday we have communion, so be prepared.
Okay. We forgive you. So, okay, so we're going to continue on Wednesday.
Yes,
I don't want to
continue
hang
on
up.
Wednesday.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we're going to
come to communion next Sunday. Not this, not today, communion, next Sunday. Okay.
Yes, next Sunday, and not Wednesday.
Next Sunday.
Sunday.
Okay. All right.
Pray for our spirit, yeah. Miss Jeanette. Please pray for our souls today.
No, thank you, Lord.
Yes,
dear
we
Heavenly
are.
Father,
we
thank you for your understanding. We thank you, Lord, that you've
thank
made
you.
It plain. Thank you, Lord. I needed your help because I didn't have it plain. I know myself, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking over.
Yes.
Yes.
Holy
thank
Spirit,
you.
We're asking you to reign in each of us, Lord.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for having sent your spirit to earth to live in us.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
I ask you, Heavenly Father, to help us to yield to your spirit.
Yes.
Help us to be molded by your spirit. Help us to walk in your spirit.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
I ask you, Lord, to bring our soul into subjection.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I ask you, Lord, to bring our flesh into subjection where we find a whole other plethora of sin in our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Anything from over indulging in this or that to just not doing what we need to do with it.
Yes.
Not keeping it in the shape it needs to be in.
Yes.
Lord, I ask you, Lord, to please give us victory in the areas in our life where we're weak or we're struggling. And you know what they are.
Yes.
Because the sooner we walk in your spirit and in victory, the sooner we'll see the answers to things that we're going up against.
Yes, Jesus.
I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you for your power. I thank you for sending and living in us. Camp your angels round and about, as you said you do, those who are in you.
Yes.
Protect us, shield us, and keep us.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name. God bless you, Miss Jeanette.
God. Love everybody.
Love you, too. Have a great week.
Have a good one.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.